Hello, it's so good to have you back with me today at the LifeSpring Family Bible. This is episode number 104. I'm Steve Webb, your host, and today we're going to be reading Joshua chapters 3 through 6. Let's begin. Joshua chapter 3. Bright and early the next morning, Joshua and the Israelites left Shittim and came to the Jordan. They camped there before crossing the river. After 3 days, the leaders went through the camp and commanded the people, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, you must leave here and walk behind it. But stay about 3,000 feet behind it. Keep your distance so you can see which way you should go, for you've not traveled this way before." Joshua told the people, "Ritually consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will perform miraculous deeds among you." Joshua told the priests, "Pick up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they picked up the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of the people. The Lord told Joshua, "This very day I will begin to honor you before all Israel, so they will know that I am with you just as I was with Moses. Instruct the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the bank of the Jordan River, wade into the water." Joshua told the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God." Joshua continued, "This is how you will know the living God is among you and that he will truly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. Look, the Ark of the Covenant of the ruler of the whole earth is ready to enter the Jordan ahead of you. Now select for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one per tribe. When the feet of the priests carrying the Ark of the Lord, the ruler of the whole earth, touch the water of the Jordan, the water coming downstream toward you will stop flowing and pile up." So when the people left their tents to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. When the ones carrying the Ark reached the Jordan and the feet of the priests carrying the Ark touched the surface of the water, the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest time, the water coming downstream toward them stopped flowing. It piled up far upstream at Adam, the city near Zarethan. There was no water at all flowing to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea. The people crossed the river opposite Jericho. The priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan. All Israel crossed over on dry ground until the entire nation was on the other side. Joshua chapter 4. When the entire nation was on the other side, the Lord told Joshua, "Select for yourselves 12 men from the people, one per tribe. Instruct them, pick up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from the very place where the priests stand firmly, and carry them over with you and put them in the place where you camp tonight." Joshua summoned the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one per tribe. Joshua told them, "Go in front of the Ark of the Lord your God to the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to put a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the Israelite tribes. Then the stones will be a reminder to you. When your children ask someday, 'Why are these stones important to you?' tell them how the water of the Jordan stopped flowing before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the water of the Jordan stopped flowing. These stones will be a lasting memorial for the Israelites." The Israelites did just as Joshua commanded. They picked up 12 stones according to the number of the Israelite tribes from the middle of the Jordan as the Lord had instructed Joshua. They carried them over with them to the camp and put them there. Joshua also set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan in the very place where the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant stood. They remained there to this very day. Now the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant were standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua to tell the people was accomplished, in accordance with all that Moses had commanded Joshua. The people went across quickly, and when all the people had finished crossing, the Ark of the Lord and the priests crossed as the people looked on. The Reubenites, Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over armed for battle ahead of the Israelites, just as Moses had instructed them. About 40,000 battle-ready troops marched past the Lord to fight on the plains of Jericho. That day the Lord brought honor to Joshua before all Israel. They respected him all his life, just as they had respected Moses. The Lord told Joshua, "Instruct the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenantal Laws to come up from the Jordan." So Joshua instructed the priests, "Come up from the Jordan." The priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came up from the middle of the Jordan, and as soon as they had set foot on dry ground, the water of the Jordan flowed again and returned to flood stage. The people went up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and camped in Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. Now Joshua set up in Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken from the Jordan. He told the Israelites, "When your children someday ask their fathers, 'What do these stones represent?' explain to your children, 'Israel crossed the Jordan River on dry ground.'" For the Lord your God dried up the water of the Jordan before you while you crossed over. It was just like when the Lord your God dried up the Red Sea before us while we crossed. He has done this so all the nations of the earth might recognize the Lord's power, and so you might always obey the Lord your God. Joshua chapter 5. When all the Amorite kings on the west side of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the seacoast heard how the Lord had dried up the water of the Jordan before the Israelites while they crossed, they lost their courage and could not even breathe for fear of the Israelites. At that time the Lord told Joshua, "Make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites once again." So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites on the hill of the foreskins. This is why Joshua had to circumcise them. All the men old enough to fight when they left Egypt died on the journey through the desert after they left Egypt. Now all the men who left were circumcised, but all the sons born on the journey through the desert after they left Egypt were uncircumcised. Indeed, for 40 years the Israelites traveled through the desert until all the men old enough to fight when they left Egypt, the ones who had disobeyed the Lord, died off. For the Lord had sworn a solemn oath to them that he would not let them see the land he had sworn on oath to give them, a land rich in milk and honey. He replaced them with their sons, whom Joshua circumcised. They were uncircumcised. Their fathers had not circumcised them along the way. When all the men had been circumcised, they stayed there in the camp until they had healed. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I've taken away the disgrace of Egypt from you." So that place is called Gilgal, even to this day. So the Israelites camped in Gilgal and celebrated the Passover in the evening of the 14th day of the month on the plains of Jericho. They ate some of the produce of the land after the Passover, including unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped appearing the day they ate some of the produce of the land. The Israelites never ate manna again. When Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him holding a drawn sword. Joshua approached him and asked him, "Are you on our side or allied with our enemies?" He answered, "Truly, I am the commander of the Lord's army. Now I have arrived." Joshua bowed down with his face to the ground and asked, "What does my master want to say to his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army answered Joshua, "Remove your sandals from your feet, because the place where you stand is holy." Joshua did so. Joshua chapter 6. Now Jericho was shut tightly because of the Israelites. No one was allowed to leave or enter. The Lord told Joshua, "See, I am about to defeat Jericho for you along with its king and its warriors. Have all the warriors march around the city one time. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry 7 ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times while the priests blow the horns. When you hear the signal from the ram's horn, have the whole army give a loud battle cry. Then the city wall will collapse, and the warriors should charge straight ahead." So Joshua, son of Nun, summoned the priests and instructed them, "Pick up the Ark of the Covenant, and 7 priests must carry 7 ram's horns in front of the Ark of the Lord." And he told the army, "Move ahead and march around the city, with armed troops going ahead of the Ark of the Lord." When Joshua gave the army its orders, the 7 priests carrying the 7 ram's horns before the Lord moved ahead and blew the horns as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed behind. Armed troops marched ahead of the priests blowing the horns, while the rear guard followed along behind the Ark blowing ram's horns. Now Joshua had instructed the army, "Do not give a battle cry or raise your voices. Say nothing until the day I tell you, give the battle cry, and then give the battle cry." So Joshua made sure they marched the Ark of the Lord around the city one time. Then they went back to the camp and spent the night there. Bright and early the next morning, Joshua had the priests pick up the Ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord marched along, blowing their horns. Armed troops marched ahead of them, while the rear guard followed along behind the Ark of the Lord, blowing ram's horns. They marched around the city one time on the 2nd day, then returned to the camp. They did this 6 days in all. On the 7th day, they were up at the crack of dawn and marched around the city as before, only this time they marched around it 7 times. The 7th time around, the priest blew the ram's horns, and Joshua told the army, "Give the battle cry, for the Lord is handing the city over to you. The city and all that is in it must be set apart for the Lord, except for Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house, because she hid the spies we sent. But be careful when you are setting apart the riches for the Lord. If you take any of it, you will make the Israelite camp subject to annihilation and cause a disaster. All the silver and gold, as well as bronze and iron items, belong to the Lord. They must go into the Lord's treasury. The ram's horn sounded, and when the army heard the signal, they gave a loud battle cry. The wall collapsed, and the warriors charged straight ahead into the city and captured it. They annihilated with the sword everything that breathed in the city, including men and women, young and old, as well as cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Joshua told the two men who had spied on the land, "Enter the prostitute's house and bring out the woman and all who belong to her, as you promised her." So the young spies went and brought out Rahab, her father, mother, brothers, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her whole family and took them to a place outside the Israelite camp. But they burned the city and all that was in it except for the silver, gold, and bronze and iron items they put in the treasury of the Lord's house. Yet Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute, her father's family, and all who belonged to her. She lives in Israel to this very day because she hid the messengers Joshua sent to spy on Jericho. At that time, Joshua made this solemn declaration: "The man who attempts to rebuild this city of Jericho will stand condemned before the Lord. He will lose his firstborn son when he lays its foundations, and his youngest son when he erects its gates." The Lord was with Joshua, and he became famous throughout the land. And so we saw the entire nation of Israel move into the Promised Land, and the very first military victory that God promised has taken place. But did the people do exactly what God told them to do? Tomorrow you'll find out that there's a twist, so come on back then. My name is Steve Webb. Thank you so much for joining me today. God bless you. This has been an In Touch Productions podcast.